So, my earliest memory as a child has always been the memory where my grandparents taught me how to do the sign of the cross. I still remember my paternal grandmother, who was blind, would take my hand and would trace it over my forehead, my heart, and my shoulders, said, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And I remember as a child, the youngest in the family at that time, when we eat, I would have to sit close to either my grandpa or my grandma, because they would have to teach, because we eat from the common pot or the common plate. So they would have to teach me how to control myself and not take all the food. But most important of all, before all of that happened, my grandma would always make sure that I do my sign of the cross before we eat. That's it, the most beautiful memory that I could have remembered. And the things that they have given to me as a child, the faith that they handed on to me. But yet, my understanding of God remained very minimal. I know that I have to honor God by keeping the commandments, keeping the teachings of the church, but my relationship with God had never go more than honoring Him and being faithful to Him. And as a matter of fact, when I came to America, I struggled with my faith a lot because as a teenager, and especially watching TVs, it seems like what's being portrayed on TV is that God is the enemy of our freedoms. And organized religion, per se, is just a list of do and don'ts. And it seems like God had been set up as an enemy of what we want to do, how we express ourselves, how we live our lives. And for example, and much more than that, I struggle with knowing how to love God because I really don't know how to receive the love from my parents at that moment. My parents, as an Asian person, tell me, especially as the first child, the eldest child in the family, of a lot of responsibilities. The things that were instilled in me the most is that you don't fail your family because you're going to bring shame and dishonor to your family. So therefore, you keep your duty and responsibility, the two words that still perhaps it so deeply ingrained within my own consciousness, subconsciousness, that I always fear that I don't live my duty or my responsibility enough. And so, that's why when I came to America, one of the first sitcoms or shows that I saw was Home Improvement. Do y'all remember that? Tim the Toolman Taylor, right? And then I see Tim Taylor interact with his son, and he was so joyful and nice to his son. And then I look at my dad and I said, it's all about what you haven't done. Boy, shape up, you know. And I felt like, why can my dad be like a typical American dad? Why can my dad be a little bit more lenient and said, son, let's talk, right? So I was envious, and I wanted that for a long time. And for some reason, I kind of project that toward God, that God just wants me to please Him all the time, and everything that I do, I always fall short on how He wants me to be. But yet, for the longest time ever, I struggle with that image of God, that understanding of God, until the year 2008, when I did my 30-day silent retreat. And that 30-day silent retreat really changed me deep from within. Yet, God gave us commandments and rules to follow. But they're not there to simply tell us that we failed, and we failed miserably. The commandments, the teachings of the church are there to remind us why it's important to give ourselves totally to God, and why it's important to love Him and keeping the covenant he have with us. There's a difference between keeping a covenant and keeping a contract. God doesn't want a contract from us. God doesn't want us to simply abide by the rules so that we don't fail, so that we can go to heaven. God wants our love. He has signed a covenant with us, a covenant that is grounded on love, the covenant that wants us to return that love back to him. And perhaps the most easiest thing for us to say, but the hardest thing to realize and understand and grasp is that God loves me. I'm loved by God. Because of our family origin, our background, that sometimes we don't know what it means to be loved by God in all of our imperfection, our brokenness, and all the things that we have. Because we constantly, when we were growing up, were told that we had to constantly meet someone's expectation or standards. And we try to become someone that the world wants us to be. We try to bear upon ourselves the standards of this world instead of the standard of Jesus Christ, the standard of love. And we have heard today in the gospel reading that God sent his only son into this world so that we might have eternal life. So what does that mean to be loved by God? I cannot give you that answer. I can only give you a theological answer, but I think the personal and intimate answer had to come from you and your relationship with him. Each and every one of us, and as the church, every time we go to Mass, we're being reminded by it that each and every one of us are parts of the body of Christ. We are Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed and loved by him. And therefore, when we come to Mass, when we come to prayer, we call out to God our Father, Abba, through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, for we are Jesus Christ. And through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, he's helping us to become more Christ-like each day. In our words, in our actions, in the way that we live, in the way we interact with each other, to become more Christ-like. What did it mean to become more Christ-like? Of course, following his examples. It's important that we follow Christ's example to become Christ-like each day. But much more than that, Christ in the gospel had always revealed that intimate relationship with the Father, the relationship that gives him life, the relationship that gives him joy and peace even when he was betrayed and abandoned and forgotten and killed by the people that hated him, his own disciples at time too. That relationship with God is the thing that nourishes us, that gives us life, to know that we are loved by God even though we might fail from time to time. And that's why in the confessional, the church is very merciful in the confessional for that way, as long as we are truly contrite of heart, contrite for the sins that we have felt. And that's why one of the things that, to be honest with you, one of the things that I find it to be an honor, and I still remember when I first said my first absolution prayer in the confessional, my hands shake, like really, literally shake, because it's such a beautiful prayer that God the Father of mercy, through the death and resurrection of his Son, had reconciled the world to himself and sent forth the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. How beautiful it is. God has sent his only Son to reconcile the world to himself and send the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. That pardon give us peace. That pardon give us love. Therefore, not in the name of the priest, But in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the priest absolved you of your sins, and we're reconciled with God. This reconciliation isn't just one time when we receive our first communion and first reconciliation. This reconciliation is a daily and very important part of who we are, of returning to God. My brothers and sisters, in recent days, I think we can read the signs that our society needs God. Please don't just take it in a very political or very negative way, and just pointing blame and putting blame on each other. At the end of the day, it goes nowhere, except that we stay in our own pedestal and we blame others for what they're doing or haven't been doing. But we remember that in the prayer of St. Francis, as well in our own prayer, where there is hatred, let us sow love. It's important that we be Christ-like during these times. Why? Because we're called to be instruments of peace, instruments of the Holy Spirit, so that what we have received at Mass, what we have received in our own prayer, in our own personal relationship with God, we can in turn give that peace to others. Mother Teresa said once that she cannot make big changes in the world, but she can create ripples that are going to affect others. So again, we're not here to make changes in the world, expecting other people to change according to politics or according to whatever we want. We let our acts of charity be ripples that are going to affect those around us. In times like these, words are cheap. In times like these, finger pointing are nothing else except for we point at ourselves and let ourselves be the standards. At times like these, we need the standards of Jesus Christ, the standard of what it means to be beloved by God, and allow that love to change this world. So therefore, let us begin all things, end all things, and in all things, remember what we have been taught as a child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.